flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Let's talk to Sheil Kapadia. He joins us every Wednesday. We love having Sheil on the show. He's broken down the film in the last game, has a scouting report on Washington. Sheil works for the Ringer, covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. Good morning, Sheil.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. You know, funny. If anyone tuned in just the last 3 or 4 minutes, they think we're really frustrated and massively concerned, which we're not, because, you know, I think everyone's picking the Eagles and we're super psyched. But, Sheil, just picking up on what Ray was just talking about there, if this turns into a game where Washington is, for lack of a better way to put it, making Jalen have to play from the pocket as a passer, what do you make of that scenario?
How concerned are you with our passing game, Sheil?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be concerned with the passing game. I think Ray was spot on, as usual, right there, that you look at Jalen Hurts' numbers throughout the season, and when he gets rid of the football quickly, when he has those quick answers, he can operate. He's very accurate. He doesn't miss a lot of throws. And, yep. And when the ball comes out and he finds a rhythm, again, the caller just mentioned that Pittsburgh game. That's exactly what happened in that game. First half, they're calling these quick-hitting concepts. Just get the ball out, don't take sacks, and the passing game looks good. The problem is there's been too many times this season where it hasn't looked like that and that he's holding on to the football. I mean, you take 7 sacks for 63 yards in a game, you know, most teams don't win a game like that where you lose 63 yards on sacks. I think it's the second most by any quarterback in the NFL in a game this season. And so it's not just Hurts. We've had this conversation all season long. Ray's right about the passing concepts, and there is a predictability to it. There is a low volume to it. And this last game, they had some issues in protection as well. So you add all those things up, and you look at the injury, and I still think the Eagles are going to win.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that they need to have a prolific passing game to win this game. But if you're asking me specifically about the passing game, it is a concern, and it has been a concern for most of the season.
I agree.
What happened, especially this last game, with the zone blitz protection? They were sending, simulated pressures, you know, where guys were dropping out when we didn't know exactly who was coming. It's like we couldn't protect anything, Sheil.
Yeah, no, it didn't look good. You're right. And this is what a lot of teams are doing, where they say, hey, we're just going to rush 4, but you're not going to know which 4 are coming. We're going to crowd the line of scrimmage, and you better sort it out, and we're still going to have 7 guys in coverage. But can you block our 4 guys? And they didn't do a good job of that. You know, there was one where Mekhi Becton and Kenny Gainwell aren't on the same page. There's another one, the safety, Cam Jurgens, just gets beat pretty cleanly on that play. So, again, it's hard for me to just say it's one thing. It really is a combination of different things. But I think you add it all up and you get a passing game that doesn't look very crisp.
Why are we eating it so much? Like, is there any good explanation? You know so much about football, Sheil. Is it just the conservative route to just eat it when you're taking a sack instead of trying to throw it away? I don't understand this. I've always been told sacks destroy drives. Is there a new line of thinking about sacks where they're not as bad or something?
No, you're right. Sacks destroy drives. It's been proven statistically over the years. You know, we don't view them as turnovers, but they're not quite as bad as turnovers, but they still will kill your drives. I think what it is, and, you know, my opinion, my theory is that early in the season, Jalen Hurts is turning the football over. And they have a meeting, and they say, we cannot, you know, I don't know if it's one conversation, many conversations, and they say, we can't win that way. And so they move towards this run-heavy plan, which has worked brilliantly, and they say, we have a great defense, and they were right about that, but they say prioritize over everything else not turning the football over. And so if there are, you know, throws to be made and he's not sure, then he's going to turn those throws down. And instead, he's going to take a sack because he's going to say, I'm not turning the football over. If I take a sack, we can still win that way. I mean, I think that is a big part of it. This is as conservative, you know, to the stat that Ray mentioned there. This is as conservative as Jalen Hurts has ever played in his entire career. And again, they are winning. They are one win away from the Super Bowl. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to change now. But if you know, that I do think that's a part of what's happening.
I agree with your assessment entirely. Sheil, let's talk about if Jalen can't move around too effectively. I like to think, now he has such a big role in the way they succeed running, both with his own rushes and the threat of his running, which, you know, makes it easier for Saquon. But I like to think, even if the threat of him running isn't in the minds of Washington, you know, once they see a drive or two into the game, he's not moving well. I like to think that the big guys up front, plus Saquon Barkley, plus Dallas Goedert as a blocker, I mean, Adrian Peterson got 2,000 yards rushing, and he didn't have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts with the threat of running helping him. I like to think the Eagles should be able to win this game running, even if the threat of Jalen running isn't there. Do you agree with that?
I do, although I do have some questions about it. Now, you mentioned Adrian Peterson. Just last week, the Lions ran for, what, over 200 yards against the Commanders, and Jared Goff is not a threat in the run game. So to me, yes, it is possible. I think they need to have a good plan for it, you know, going in. They're going to know better than we are how healthy Jalen Hurts is and what kind of factor he's going to be, because he has been a big factor. I mean, that touchdown run he had in the first quarter last week, he's breaking the tackle of a defensive lineman. I mean, most quarterbacks are not able to do that and break that for 40-plus yards. That's a play that's designed for Jalen Hurts to make a read, and you get pullers out in front of him, and he has a big run. So if you're not going to have those runs at your disposal, you need to adjust. And I think there's a couple things they do. I think, one, this could be a big run-pass option game, a big RPO game where you say, hey, he's not going to run the football if they're keying in on Saquon Barkley, but we're going to have a little slant on the backside, or we're going to have a little screen on the backside that if that defender moves and tries to key in on Barkley, then you throw it and you take the easy completion there. So that's one. And I think they could use a lot of pistol in this game where, you know, because I don't know what his mobility is going to be like from under center. So I think that's another thing to keep an eye on, where you have the back right behind Jalen Hurts. He's not fully in shotgun, but the defense doesn't know which side the play is going to go to. So little wrinkles like that, not to get too in the weeds. But, yeah, they need to have a game plan for, hey, if Jalen Hurts can't be a factor in the run game, what are we going to do to still allow Saquon Barkley to have a nice day?
Is it worth blitzing Jaden Daniels?
No, flat out no. I was just looking at these numbers, John. He has killed the blitz this season. Last week, the Lions came in. That's how they play. They said, we're aggressive. Rookie quarterback coming into our house. Torched them. And really, John, if you look at the last game the Eagles played against Jaden Daniels in week 16, Vic Fangio got pretty aggressive in that game and started blitzing him. And he absolutely killed them when they blitzed him in that game. So to me, this is a game where you play zone coverage. You want eyes on Jaden Daniels. He is the best scrambler in the NFL. You can't play man coverage where you have your backs to the line of scrimmage, and now all of a sudden he's running all over the place. So I think you got to win with your front four. Jalen Carter's got to have a big game. They're without their best offensive lineman. This is, to me, this, I would be surprised if Vic Fangio came into this game and blitzed a lot.
So how much does this – how smart is this team? The extra day that they've got, it worries me. I know that Cliff Kingsbury is really sharp, and he's going to have wrinkles that he adds, especially with an extra day. I know that Joe Witt is going to try to throw all sorts of new things out there. How well coached is this team?
Yeah, I still give Daniels most of the credit, but you are right. They do a lot of things. You know, one thing they do is they run no huddle more than any team in the NFL. I think it's up over 60% of the time. They are in no huddle. And so I was thinking about a guy like Jalen Carter in that situation where he never comes off the field, and he was so, so good last week. How does that affect someone like him if it's not, hey, you're not getting the same break in between snaps, some of the things with the Eagles' rotation defensively. So, yeah, there's a lot to prepare for. There's the quarterback run game. There's the no huddle. There's just the second reaction plays that Jaden Daniels makes. So offensively, the Commanders are legit. I mean, their offense has really, except for a little stretch in the middle of the season where Jaden Daniels was battling through a rib injury, other than that, they have played really, really well. So, yeah, you have the best defense in the NFL. This is why you have Vic Fangio to prepare for a guy like this and an offense like this. But that's going to be strength on strength when the Commanders have the football against this Eagles defense.
So how close are these teams?
I still think the Eagles are way more talented than the Commanders. If you just go, you know, player for player on the depth chart, I'm putting the check mark next to the Eagles all over the place. And I think on the other side of the ball, the Eagles should be able to run the football. I mean, that Commanders defense, you know, they had five takeaways last week. That's how they need to play. It's not like a sound defense where they're going to force you to go three and out and punt a bunch of times. They just aren't talented enough to be able to do that. So I think your offense has to have a day in this game where you say, hey, even if our defense doesn't completely shut down Jaden Daniels, we're still going to win this game comfortably because our offense is going to do enough here. So that's what you need to be able to count on.
What about those who say the Commanders' defense has gotten significantly better at stopping the run since, you know, late in the year and since the postseason started? Yeah, they were bad, whatever, 30th in the league at run defense, but now it's different. What do you say to that contingent?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, I watched that Lions-Commanders game last week, and Jahmyr Gibbs, every time he touched the football, it seemed like he got 12 to 15 yards. I mean, they were
totally.
And you have Saquon Barkley, you know, the best running back season we've ever seen in this city. So I would be disappointed in the Eagles if they weren't able to win up front with their offensive line and if Saquon Barkley wasn't able to have another big game. You know, I do think the Commanders, now these defenses, they face a tough decision. They can crowd the box and say, hey, we're going to – but then if Saquon Barkley breaks through that, it's over.
Yep.
I mean, if it's him versus safety, after he gets through that, it's not a 12-yard game. It's a 60, 70-yard game.
I like it.
I've never seen anything like it.
I like it when they crowd the box. Please do.
It really is.
It means we'll get there with more certainty in my book.
It's wild. It does lead to home runs. All right, Sheil, final thing here. I'm curious, you know – 7 years ago when the Eagles were getting ready for an NFC Championship game, everyone in Philadelphia was of the mindset that it would be a more cool thing to beat New England, but easier to beat Jacksonville. And so, you know, a lot of people were, you know, probably hoping Jacksonville would win that game against New England. They did not. This one between KC and Buffalo feels a lot more 50-50 to me. Do you have any sense of which team, KC or Buffalo, emerging would be a better matchup for the Eagles to win? Who should we root to win KC Buffalo from an Eagles standpoint?
It's really close. I mean, that game's a 1.5-point spread, Chiefs Bills. So if you like the revenge angle, like you're talking about with the Patriots, if you want to say, hey, you know, the Chiefs got you 2 years ago and you want another shot at them and take down the Kings who are going for the three-peat, that obviously would be a fun storyline. If you're asking me just based on the matchup, I think it's probably it's really tough.
It is tough. It's really tough.
Here's the thing. The Bills are small up front, and they like to play nickel, and they're not necessarily built to deal with the Eagles' run game. Like if you look at, you know, their defense, I do think you'd be able to run on them quite a bit. So maybe that, but I don't have a strong lean. I mean, they're two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know, either one would be a pretty fun matchup.
Andy Reid out of the bye week might be why I'd rather play Buffalo, but it's really tight. But my God, I think he's 27-5 in his career with a bye, and obviously he'd have a bye entering the Super Bowl. So just something to consider.
Nick's undefeated after byes, I guess, other than not including the Super Bowl, but in the regular season, Nick is undefeated after the bye. For what it's worth.
Good. Okay. So he's 5-1 then, I guess. 4-0 in the regular season. I think they had one bye in the playoff scenario.
The playoffs. So he's 5-1 total.
Yeah. Yep. That's impressive. All right, Sheil, stay well, bud. We'll talk to you next week. I think the Eagles will still be marching on. We look forward to having you on the program again. Thanks, Sheil.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
You got it, bud.